So in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 13 is where I'll start reading. Verse 13 reads this way. Gideon said to him, he's talking to God, "O Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Father, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you for the spirit of the Lord that's in this place. Father, I never would operate in anything that you would not allow me to operate and give me permission to operate in, but I will operate fully in that which you have ordained for my life. And Father, therefore, people will be better after I'm done than they were before I started. Now, this sanctuary of yours that has been dedicated to you over and over again, that your works will be done and no foul spirit of the enemy or darkness will be able to penetrate the atmosphere and stop anything that you want done on this last day of 2023. Father, there are people under the sound of my voice, both present and streaming, Father, that need a push to get into 2024, that they would function as you have created them to function. So we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise, as if the service is already over and we're rejoicing like it's already done. So we celebrate you now in the matchless name of Jesus. Somebody shout in the atmosphere, amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you about with the title, "Who Am I?" Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And I'm going to show you in scripture, everybody that God called wasn't arrogant. Gideon doesn't have low self-esteem. He just doesn't know his worth yet. So when God starts calling, he doesn't call people who are considered perfect. He doesn't call people who have arrived. He doesn't call people who don't need him. And he sure doesn't call anybody that can't trust him. So I want to run you through some scriptures here to help you better understand how many leaders of the Bible ask, "Who am I?" So I want to take you now to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21. And this is the account of King Saul. He was a king just before King David. And in verse 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 9, it reads this way. "And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all families of the tribes of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me?" You would think that he and Gideon had gotten together to have a talk, but they did not. This is just the language of those who are called to great things but don't know their worth yet. Let's go over to still in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. Now if you start off with that type of attitude, keep it. Because this next scripture will show when Solomon's attitude changed when he got a better job. Where his attitude changed when he got the house he wanted. Where his attitude changed when he got the promotion. Where his attitude changed when he got the degree. where his attitude changed when they put a title on his name. You'd be surprised at how many people change when they get something. 1 Samuel 15, verse 17. So Samuel said, this is the prophet. Samuel is the prophet. He prophesied Solomon into his position. He also anointed David for his position. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? When you were yet small in your own eyes, what are you seeing in the mirror now? See, God said, I could trust you. I could trust you when you looked at yourself small. And said, when I sent Samuel to you, I sent him to you when you were small in your own eyes. I sent him to you when you were chasing donkeys. King James said chasing asses. Excuse me, I just had to throw that in. It's funny when you start thinking high about yourself. That God starts changing his mind about you. Okay. All right. Who am I? Stephen Davis from Bradford, Alabama. Though my name radiates in many arenas now, when they say all that about me, I still know who I am. Listen, never build your image on the applause of people who will withdraw it. So when they leave you, you're not disappointed. When they stop clapping for you, it don't stop you from having your party. Let me help y'all. Everybody has the tendency to walk away from you. Every person you know has a tendency to walk away from you. Don't feel bad about it. All right, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. Can we go on? All right. 1 Samuel 18, verse 18. 1 Samuel 18, verse 18. Now, this is David talking. So we heard from Gideon. We heard from Saul. Now we're going to hear from David. 1 Samuel 18, 18. It reads this way. So David said to Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that you should be, or should I, should be a son-in-law to the king? Saul has vowed to give David his daughter. David, no low self-esteem or low self-worth, but he said, I wasn't even categorized to be married to a king's daughter. Some of y'all got a place that you didn't even, you weren't even in that category. David understands. You're going to have to be a bad somebody to marry my daughter. I'm going to say that. That's me. That's me. There ain't going to be no cheapskate and come up here. I spoiled her. She don't know nothing about no downgrade. Okay. All right. All right. It's tight, but it's right. You better be able to take care of her like a daddy takes care of her. I just go and walk away. So, see, that's what I'm saying. David now, he says, am I in that particular category that I can be married to the king's daughter? And again, it is not low self-worth. He just knows you're in an arena that I wasn't born in. Neither is my family accustomed to it. He winds up marrying King Saul's daughter, but not the eldest one. But David is thinking, and this is what you have to keep thriving. Because if you want to stunt your growth, start thinking you are that where you're serving. It's the worst thing you can do. I am the senior apostle of Refresh Family Church, multiple locations. Last night, number 4 floated to the ceiling. I got a strategy. I didn't call for no help. If I can find a blower, I can blow that 4 over to the catwalk. Then I'll crawl up in the catwalk. And I'll get the number 4 and come and bring it back down and tie it back in place without having an entourage. Be surprised at what you won't do when you think you all that in a bag of chips. Okay. I'm just talking. So if you want to be the man that sits to the right or the left of the king, we're gonna be in the trenches. Cause homie ain't afraid of no work, y'all. Because what it does, it reminds me of where I came from. Even when I'm peeking where I'm going. Okay. You'd be surprised how strategic my mind is. I had no pole to reach it. But if I had enough RPMs in a blower, I can blow it to where I could reach it. Don't lose your creativity because you've been sitting at an executive table with people you don't fit with. All right. Let me walk you through just a few points here. Because I believe God has something on his mind. And I wouldn't be preaching what I'm preaching if it wasn't applicable for you where you are. And I know it's where you are because God gave it to me. I don't ever doubt what he gives me. You just doubt whether it's for you or not. And I don't preach good messages. I preach God said. God chose you when you were small. For always, talking about us, remember that no matter where he takes you, don't forget that. God chose you. He was intentional for pulling you out of the projects. He was intentional for pulling you out of a situation. Because he wanted you to remember, you ain't always looked like that in your life. Stop playing with us. You think we crazy? God chose us when we were small. He didn't wait until we got. You think God just started paying attention to me when I got a microphone? God was paying attention to me when I was that little old black boy looking like I was running around in Africa. When you were small. So always remember that no matter where he takes you, always remember that. We have a tendency to forget. And we can tell when you forget. You got that little negative swag about yourself. Who you talking to? I'm talking to you. That don't know where you came from and not gonna stay there long. Okay. All right. Excuse me. Just look at your neighbor, ask him, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? I know we can't get you to pick up paper off the parking lot, but do you remember? I know we can't get you to pick up a mop, but do you remember? I know you won't grab a vacuum cleaner, but do you remember? I know you're driving that clean car and you're parking it halfway across the parking lot, but do you remember when you had, you were being dropped off? Who am I? I think many of y'all done lost y'all identity because you don't remember where you came from. And you want us to cater to somebody you are not.
Okay. Okay. Excuse me.
You want to know why their feelings hurt? Because they somebody else. You have just insulted the character they created.
Okay.
Okay. Anytime they get pushy, it's because they have an identity problem. You are not the clothes you wear, you just wear the clothes. Until your name's in the back of the shirt, sit down somewhere. Long as I'm opening up my jacket and somebody else's name is on the inside, I'm going to remember who I am.
Okay. Okay. Excuse me.
I'm going to make sure you don't go over into 2024 with an identity crisis. And you out there rubbing on your car, that don't make you. Let them come and repossess it. You lose your mind because you attach to things that's not your identity. And you want all of us to bow to something you are not.
Okay.
God chose you. I understand why God didn't go back and let Jesus be an adult when he was born. Because the last adult that he made, and I'm pretty sure Adam was 30 years old when God created him. The last one that was a man when God made him sold out the entire earth to a voice that he never should have listened to. So God said, I'm going to start off small. That's why God starts with every one of us in a small place so that we don't lose our mind and give away everything that he has.
Oh, okay. All right.
Who you talking to like that? Who you talking to like that? Who are you? You can't talk to me like, well, you having an identity crisis. Which one of y'all are we talking to? Because you got this one at home and then you got this one at church. Which one of y'all are we talking to? Are we talking to the one that hang out with this crowd of people? Or are we talking to the one that hangs out with this crowd of people? Which one are you?
Okay. Okay. Excuse
Let me help you. If your stuff maims you, your stuff will break you. Never give power to your assets to break you down, make you lose your mind when they're no longer in your possession.
Okay.
God will take you further than what you have dreamed. If you understand, he chooses the unworthy. I'm trying to be good. He chooses the ones who recognize I don't even belong here. How in the world did they get my name? How in the world did I get in this? I don't even belong here. Whenever you put your chest out, you think you belong. That's an announcement that you don't belong, because God only calls those who understand I'm worthless. And y'all feeling bad because people look like they belong here. Let me tell you where they belong. They belong in hell. But God gave them an opportunity. God snatched them out. Now they want to look down their nose at you because they lost their identity in Christ. I will take you further than what you have dreamed. Let me tell you what limits dreams. Let me tell you what limits dreams. It's when God gives you one step of a 10-step ladder and you lose your mind on the first step. Your dream's up there and you done lost it down here. Gideon didn't feel like he was worthy. King Saul didn't feel like he was worthy. David didn't feel like he was worthy. Stephen A. Davis doesn't feel like he's worthy, but I'm here. But I'm here, and ain't nothing nobody can do to remove me. So there are people who were walking out dreams that turned into a nightmare because they listened to people that told them how great they were, and they started believing and what the people were saying. Jesus came into town, and they were saying, while he was riding the donkey, and they were throwing all the palm leaves and their garments out, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then just a few days later, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. You think it was different people? It was those same people. If they build you up, they will tear you down. Who am I? Why they all throwing out palm leaves? Why they all said, Hosanna, I'm going to remember why I'm riding on this donkey, who I am. I have big dreams that God is going to accomplish with a little man. I have big dreams that the Lord is going to accomplish with a little man. I ain't ashamed of where I came from. I'll tell my story. Have you told your story? Do they really know your story? Do they really know where you came from? They want to be y'all, but y'all tell your story. And they don't want to tell their story. They want to sit up in here. I've been here all these years. I've been with Apostle. But what is your real story? Won't you tell them you've been suicidal for the last 2 years? Won't you tell them you got raped, you got molested, you got thrown out? That's your story. We don't want to hear how well you do church. We want to know what God delivered you from, because we want to be delivered. Who am I? I come to notice it's those who tell their story that God puts on a platform, not those who become entertainers and act like they don't know anything about what you're going through. It's when you start talking, let me tell you, I haven't told this. I just shared this with Sasha. I just shared this with Sasha, maybe a few months ago. It was this year. Let me tell you why I married white. You got quiet. Y'all listen. Let me tell you what happened to me. And I didn't want my child to go through what I went through when I was a child. I was always called black. And lighter-complected people would pick at me on the bus when I was riding to school. So in my mind, because I'm creative in my mind, I'm thinking, well, when I have children, I don't want them to go through what I've gone through. So I always looked at light-complected women, never with an intention to marry a white woman. But because you'd be surprised at how your childhood shaped your adult decisions. So in my mind, I said, I don't want. See, I'm telling my story today. Who am I? This is who I am. I probably wouldn't have leaned that way if they wouldn't have picked at me on the bus. But God made a decision I made out of pain. He caused it to become a miracle. And some of y'all have made some decisions out of criticism in your childhood. But God's going to fix it today and give you the identity that you need. You want a microphone? What's your story? You want to be hot? What's your story? I know you look real cute on Sunday. I know you want a position and a title, but what's your story? What caused you to operate the way you operate? What caused you to think like you think? And it's too late now. Black is fine. I see people darker than me laying on the beach trying to get darker. I'm like, what in the world going on? I'm like, you don't need no tan. They said, this is what's in, so we're gonna go ahead and get a few shades darker. You want to be great? You got to connect with people. People don't understand that fake you. There's some, you can be classy, but you can't be fake. I'm classy, but I'm not fake. When myself and Lady Davis walk in the room, they know class just walked into the room. But they also know we're not phony. They also know whatever we have is paid for. No. It's not on no credit card.
Okay. All right.
Listen. Even when you're feeling unworthy, know that God has chosen you for the task. When you feel unworthy, in yourself, know that God has chosen you for the task. When you know within yourself that God has chosen you for the task, don't let unworthiness stop you. When you know I'm called for this, this is the task that God has on my life. I'm not trying to do anybody else's task. This is my task. Nobody can do it the way I do it because God gave it to me. And I'm going to work it well. If you just pay attention, it's those who understand that they weren't worthy that work harder than those who think they are worthy. Those who think they're worthy think that things are not going to go on without them. I'm telling y'all, in this season, you're going to drive by and think that a building that's just getting started can't be finished without you. And I believe within the next couple of weeks, you'll drive back by and it will already be occupied with completion. I'm telling you right now, because God is finding some people that don't feel worthy, but God has given them the task. How many of you know that God has given you a task? If you know that God has given you a task, don't worry about your haters. Don't worry about what people think. They always thinking and always talking. That's what's telling you they don't have anything to do. But you who have a task, while they're talking, you're busy. They don't know how busy I've been for months. They think the only time I'm working is when they see me in this place. But when God gives you a task, you don't sleep like everybody else sleeps. You don't hang out where everybody else hangs out. You don't do what everybody else is doing because God has given you a task and you feel so worthy because God put something in your hand. See, Some of you don't understand. They handed it out to you. They allow the inconsistency of the person that's giving to make them feel devalued. People have been playing games with you. Well, you're not going to do it my way, I ain't going to show up. Not going to do it my way, I'm going to have an attitude. All you're saying to me is you're going to show me who you really are because I didn't give you what you want. You were that the whole time when you were smiling, when you had on all that makeup, when you were dressed nice. You were that the whole time. Okay. Who am I? Because there's someone coming this 2024. They're not only going to give you this, they're going to see what else they can give you. Give me my phone over there. Because when you find somebody that doesn't feel worthy, you can trust them with all your important details. You can't trust those jokers that think they all that in a bag of chips. But you find yourself somebody and pass it on to the other brother. Because you know what? When you feel unworthy, you don't mind sharing. You want to know why they don't share? Because they don't. They ain't got a revelation. They believe if they share with you, you'll get ahead of them. No, it's what you do. Nobody can beat you doing what you do. And you think this message is something. You better show up tonight. See, because they don't understand. Yeah, I had to prepare a eulogy for a three-year-old. Had to prepare a message for today and had to prepare a message for tonight while you were shopping. But when you don't feel worthy, you do what you're supposed to do when people are not watching. I will never deprive you by bringing stale information to you. Because I don't feel worthy enough to just get up and talk off of the top of my head. So I'm going to prepare to serve you because I feel like if you feel unworthy, I want to increase your value. So I want to bring something to you that has value so that you'll feel better about yourself but not get high and heady about your life. Even when you feel unworthy, no. That God has chosen you for the task. You got to know what God has chosen you for. Stop worrying about them. What did God choose you for? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. What area do you thrive in that there's no competition? There are pastors all around this city. There's one Stephen A. Davis in this city. And can't nobody beat me being me. Nobody can go through scripture like I go through scripture. I don't want to be like anybody else. I'm unique within myself. Nobody sees what I see when I read the Bible. Nobody can articulate it the way I articulate it because I'm the best version of myself. You will never strive to get better unless you feel unworthy. Every day I work to get better. Not for the applause of people, for the representation of God. I want to represent you well, Lord. You reached down and picked up old raggedy me, and I want to represent you well. You looked down at the 12th child that didn't have a father in the house, and you chose me, so I'm going to represent you well. How much study, how much prayer, how much worship, how much church attendance, how much do you want me to give? Because everything I have, you gave it to me. The present suffering is not a sign of the absence of God, but a rising of a great leader. Gideon said, where is the God of all these miracles? Why are the people going through all that they're going through? Seems like God has forgotten us. I realize as an unworthy person, when I can see the problem, I'm the answer to the problem. Y'all missed that. Don't talk about it because you see it. If you have a passion for it, you're the answer for that. Greatness comes out of finding a problem and becoming the deliverer like Gideon did for the problem that existed. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. You can never heal what you're not compassionate about. You can never touch someone that you don't have compassion for. I started to tell you about the project I was telling Lady Davis about after I came from that three-year-old's funeral. Because in every funeral, I get touched. And I know your family's touched, but I got touched. I got touched because somewhere in me lies an answer to some of the suffering that's taking place. And Gideon was saying there was so much suffering taking place. And he was crying out to the Lord and asking the Lord, where are you? Where are you? Why are they suffering like they're suffering? Where are you? And God's letting him know that they're suffering like they're suffering because you're not decisive enough to know that I'm trying to raise you up to end the suffering that they're going through. The Dr. Martin Luther Kings, the reason they were so effective is because they felt the suffering of the people and they gave their lives for not themselves but for the people that they were called to relieve the suffering for. So Gideon understands, if I can see the suffering, if I can discern the suffering, and I'm going to talk to God about the suffering, I may just be the deliverer that's sent to relieve the suffering. Stop waiting on your prayer partner to support you and help. Go and you'll find people that'll help you and finance you if you go do what you have a sensitivity to do. Great leadership always rises up to in a time of suffering. Great leaders rise up when suffering is taking place in a community, with a people. Great leadership rises up. Leaders are not defined on a good day at a party, sitting at the executive seat. No, great leaders rise up in a time of adversity, when people are suffering the most, when death seems to be ravishing the earth. We pulled up to the cemetery, and there were seven tents. That's one cemetery. Sasha sent me a text. She said, Dad, there's seven tents out here. They told us we have to hurry up and get done with this service, or you're going to get blocked in the cemetery. I'll tell the people I trust what I'm thinking, because I got an answer. This unworthy person who doesn't think that God is absent. The only absence is leadership. God is not absent. Leaders are absent. Because God can't until they choose to. Stop being mad at God and get mad at those who have the potential to be great leaders but sitting down because they're scared. Can I go on? I'm about to close. God is going to use you to make a strong enemy seem weak. If you understand anything about the scripture, the Midianites covered the ground. You couldn't even see the ground. They were so numerous. There were so many of them. They were so strong. But he told the one who felt unworthy. He said, I'm going to use you to bring them down. Like they're only one man.
am going to use you to bring down a great enemy as if he's one man with no support, no agreement. Can you imagine in this day, God's going to use you and give you so much influence that you're going to be able to bring down a major issue as if it was weak the whole time. It was not that the Midianites were weak. God just needed a leader that would address them to bring them down. And if God can get you to open up your mouth the right way and have the proper stance and understand your worthiness is connected to him dwelling on the inside of you, and if you understand he's on the inside of you and you make your stand on behalf of those who are suffering, God's going to bring that suffering to an end, and he's going to bring it to an end as a weak man. Let me help you. In 2024, I don't need you cheering for me. I need you working. I don't need cheerleaders, because I've had cheerleaders and they stopped cheering and I still kept working. So you got to get accustomed to doing what you do without cheerleaders and pom-poms and these applause crowds. If nobody claps for me, I'm still the one God called. You're waiting on somebody to validate you. You already been validated. You already been called. You already been sent. You already been anointed. Listen. The problem you see, are you going to talk about it? Are you going to solve it? I need some witnesses as I close. When you see the problem, are you going to get on your phone and spread the problem? Or are you going to be a problem solver? Let me tell you where your wealth is. It's attached to the problem that you solve. Some of y'all are believing for wealth. Wealth is attached to the problem that you solve. If you solve the problem, the wealth will come. People will want to give you grants for solving problems. How many problem solvers do I have in the house? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Now I'm going to go just a little bit deeper. Until David realized that he was a problem solver, the Bible said he came and sat down. That's not normal when you come before the Lord. You either kneel or you stand. David, according to scripture, came and sat down, which meant he wasn't ready. But when he got his head together, he stood back up. Now, if you're a problem solver, you shouldn't be sitting on your behind right now. Because problem solvers don't sit down. Problem solvers, they stand up. If Tim can get up on your feet. Your sitting down posture says you're the problem. Your standing up posture says you're the answer. Somebody shout in this house. Shout like you mean it. Timothy Alexander took the message that I preach, and he travels around the country with the message that I preach. He texts me or calls me every now and then and tells me, hey, apostle, life is in your mouth, in your words. He uses exactly what I preach, and he's attracted all around the world. Just imagine what it would do for you if you just start to echo the pulpit. How many raises? How many elevations? How many positions? Learn how to echo the pulpit and watch God take you around the world. Come on, give God a shout of praise. In 2024, we're going to manufacture so many great leaders. We're going to manufacture them in 2024. I hope you're one of them, because we're going to manufacture them. We ain't got time for somebody that want to be a problem and don't want to be a solution. We're going to produce them week after week after week after week. Why? Because this is the season of the Lord. God needs some people that'll rise up, not to get a microphone, but to be a solution. If you're one of them, shout. You ain't got to be concerned about who's on your row. If you know you're one of them, if you know 2024 is your year to rise up, if you know that 2024 is your season to do what nobody else has done, shout! In trouble, some devil is in trouble. Slap somebody high five, tell them the devil's in trouble now. If you wanted us to be quiet, too late. You wanted us to sit down, too late. Look at another neighbor, tell them it's too late. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul. Stop taking about 30 more seconds. That's why the devil's been after you, because you're the one that God is raising up. You've been wired. You've been trying to figure out what the fight has been over. It's because God is raising you up. You've been wondering why the devil's been hating on Refresh, because we're the one. About to go. For those of you who have not come to your place of wisdom yet, let me help you some. Those who have been desiring for you to explain, they don't want to understand. They want to consume your time. So if you stand there long enough trying to explain to someone who doesn't want to explain, want to understand, you consume the time that you could be giving to your purpose. So I want to liberate you. Don't explain anything to somebody that doesn't want to understand. In these next 60 seconds, I want you to get delivered from the explanation of foolish people.